Hello, and welcome to Python 411, Computer Programming for Everybody. Well, these are busy days, and I've got a few things going on, so I decided to make this sort of a miscellaneous newscast because there are some exciting events going on in the Python world that I don't want to miss. First off, I hope you did listen to the first guest podcast that we've ever had on the spread module, which is, you know, you might want to listen to that more than once because it is quite a bit of information packed into there. And I realized that sometimes I need to listen to something more than once in order to really absorb it. Also, if you didn't listen to the one previous to that, I actually posted two podcasts in the same day practically. The one right before the spread module was my actual report from the PyCon conference down in Dallas, which if you did happen to miss that one, I suggest you go back and listen to it because it was a lot of fun and it was a very interesting conference, and I did talk about the people I met and also a lot of the more exciting papers, although they were in talks and presentations, although they were all very good, of course, and really do recommend it. Okay. Another thing I was planning on doing, presentation on sort of an educational look at internet programming, which I think I might do that in the future, but soon. But I think just comment briefly on it today, because basically one of the tutorials I took at the PyCon conference was Internet Programming by Wesley J. Chun. And Mr. Chun, who wrote Core Python, did a fantastic presentation on internet programming. And I purchased, he also published later in the conference a list of a booklet, sort of a folder, a booklet put together of all of the tutorials, presentations. And it was, I have it here, and it's quite good. And he published it under the Creative Commons license, which I've read, and it looks like you're allowed to re-give that in whole or in part or derivative works as long as you give attribution to the creator. So basically, I think I could walk you through that, and I may do that in a very upcoming podcast. But for today, I'm going to leave that, because one of the things I also did was I posted in my discussion forum at someone's request the link to the tutorials and all the papers, audio versions. They were recorded at the last PyCon. And unfortunately, I've discovered that most of the ones from 2006, maybe all, are, even though they're listed in the audio files there, you can't really listen to them yet because they haven't released, they don't have consent forms from the presenter. So I'm going to wait a couple weeks and see if that comes out, because it would actually then, once those are released, you could actually go and listen to Wesley J. Chun's full internet programming tutorial, which lasted a whole half day, and that would be wonderful. If that doesn't happen soon, though, and maybe even if it does, I may give very shortly my own condensed version of it, so that if you don't have a whole half day to give to it, you could still benefit from it. And I was thinking of doing that today. Maybe I'll do it next weekend, because that is a very well, it's a subject I've done a lot of internet programming myself, especially using the CGI module, which I did a podcast on, also the FTP module, and the URL Lib modules, which are very easy to use and very powerful, especially the URL Lib. But he also covered the socket module, which is an underlying low-level network programming module, which I really found fascinating, although I've never used it in my own programming. And I don't know that I will anytime soon necessarily, but it helps understand internet programming. And I think it helped me relate a little bit to the spread module guest podcast that we had. And the socket module, just to give you a brief, you could study it, of course, in the online documentation. And if you're interested in it, I think that it's interesting to note that socket is a concept of a listening post. It's a virtual listening post or listening connection, like a telephone jack, that for programs to talk to each other, whether they're internal processes on the same machine or threads, or more commonly perhaps today, networked programs and processes on different computers. But the actual concept of socket, I found out, came about before there was much networking. And it was really for Unix machines, for programs that were running, which we call processes. Each program running is a process. For processes to talk to each other and to send data back and forth, they had to have this virtual telephone jack, so to speak, of a socket. And then when internet programming came along, TCP/IP and such, the socket became the listening post, the telephone jack, for a program on one machine to talk to a program on another machine. And so the socket module in Python, which is in the standard Python library, is the low-level underlying protocol for programming at that network level. And I just find it fascinating, and I do recommend you look into the socket module. And maybe, as I said, maybe next week or soon I'll do a further exploration of that, along with things like the FTP live module and URL live, and also CGI, although I did do that before. Okay. Some other interesting things. Well, perhaps the most interesting piece of news that just occurred in the last week that I made me want to do a newscast is that, well, it turns out that one of the creators of one of the open source Python IDEs started floating the idea to possibly combine with other IDE authors to create an Uber Python IDE. And sure enough, several of them have come back with support for the idea. So he's launched a website, and it's the creator of the Stani IDE. And he's launched this website at, I'll list this in my discussion forum notes, but it's https://pyxides.stani.be/news/launch. And, you know, listen to the projects that are participating. New Edit, Scryde, Eric 3, Leo IDE, Active Grid, PIDA, Dr. Python, PyDev, which, by the way, is an Eclipse plugin, PyCrust, IPython, WinPDB Debugger, Extended Python Debugger, PyLint, Gaffor, Envisage, Debo, Silver City, and SPE. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. Now, let me hasten to add that from my investigation, if you're willing to spend just a little bit of money and you're pretty professional about your work in programming, then I recommend either Komodo by ActiveState or Wing IDE, both of which are tremendous professional level for pay IDEs, and I think they're great. But if you want to use an open source, free, as in beer, or your favorite soda, I think then that you want to look at this project. I mean, it's just beginning, but it certainly has a lot of interest. I mean, the idea is that that it will be able to use the best of class, the best of breed, and that people don't waste their time reinventing the same thing. And all the IDEs that are participating, they use various GUI toolkits, including Tkinter or Tkinter, WXPython, PyQt, Cocoa on the Mac, and PyGTK. And, you know, I find that amazing. And it's not about unification as much as it is about collaboration. There are always libraries to share. So doesn't mean that these other projects are going away. And I hope if I gave that impression, I need to correct it. You know, it's about collaboration to use libraries in common. And, you know, who knows what the ultimate end shape will be. But There, he's created a wiki for the project and a mailing list, and he listed developers' reaction and a poll. I got to give you some of the developers' reaction here because I found it absolutely fascinating. In fact, you know what? Perhaps a better starting IDE would be http://pyxides.stani.be, because he gives a real good summary there, but listen to some of the reaction. Daniel Posmanter, the creator of Dr. Python, says, "This is an awesome idea. The beauty of open source is we can have both approaches. And he, you know, he talks about a Python Ajax editor would be amazing. And perhaps it could be forwarded to people who do Zope and either even Django. And those people might use it too, even though they're not officially part of this project. And Detlef Offenbach of Eric 3 says it's a good idea. And, you know, he wonders how well it will work with different GUI projects like PyKQT and WX Windows. However, if you could find a common API for the non-GUI stuff, the projects could share a lot of code. Visual reputation could be done using the respective GUI. And listen to this. Edward K. Rehm. Now, listen to this. This is fascinating. Edward K. Rehm is the creator of the Leo IDE, known as the Literate IDE. He says, I would much rather not have to do the things that others have done well. And I would like the Leo way brought to other environments. I'd like Leo or something like it to outlive me. Wow. And, you know, Fabio Zadrozny of PyDev had good comments about it. And Fernando Perez of IPython. And after all of these guys commented, the creator of the Stanny IDE came back and commented on their comments. So a real dialogue. In fact, you got to come look at this website. He's created a wiki already with comments and discussion forum. The website itself is a work of art. I mean, I haven't seen a website this good for an open source project in a long time. And this just was created in the last week, sort of out of nothing, out of thin air. So, you know, hats off to Stanny, to use shorthand. You know, he's got comments from users of each of the GUI framework. He's got a separate comment place for each of them, and for not just the main authors of these other IDEs, but also the contributors to other IDEs and tools of code. And there are a lot of interesting comments there. You know, go read it for yourself. I'll put it in the discussion forum, the link. But this is truly awesome, and I wanted to share this piece of news with you. Okay, another piece of news that I wanted to share briefly without going into too much detail at this time is that I picked up two new books at the PyCon conference. There was a party on Saturday night, free pizza and soda party at Nerd Books in Dallas, and had some wonderful discussions, met some wonderful people there, and bought two books. Well, first off, I got to discussing a book that I read recently that they had there, because they had a wider selection of Python books there than I've seen anywhere. And so maybe I should put a link to them, too, because you can buy the books off their website, including things that are out of print, like the original Guido von Rossum internet programming with Python from, 10 years ago that's out of print. And they had a physical copy there, and you can order it from them. I did a podcast on computer science with Python, which dwelt somewhat on the readings I did in Python Programming, An Introduction to Computer Science by John Zell. That book is intended as a first semester course in computer science. And I bought a book at Nerdbooks then, which I'm still reading, called Problem Solving with Algorithms and Data Structures Using Python. This is intended as a second semester course in computer science, which happens to use Python, but goes over the algorithms and data structures. And I, you know, by the time I finish these, it's like a first year's course in computer science. And I don't think many languages have this kind of wonderful stuff available. And, you know, they teach some of the things they go over in this one. If you're interested in the Zell book, go back to my computer science podcast. But in this one, they talk about basic data structures, including stacks and queues and decks. And decks were new to me. At least I don't remember having studied them. And then they go over algorithm analysis, big O notation, trees, graphs, maps. Just to give you an idea of one thing I learned, though, I knew what stacks were all about in queues, but not decks. A stack is, of course, a data structure where you put things in one at a time. You put objects in one at a time. And then when you want to take them off, you take them off the top of the stack. So it's first in, last out, so to speak. I hope I got that right. But anyway, you know what a stack, it's just like a stack of books. You keep stacking books up. You always put them on the top, and then you take them off the top. And in Python, you do this probably with a list, and you just keep appending to the front of the list and then taking off the front of the list. Now, a queue is similar but different because you append to the front and take off and remove from the rear. Now, a deck is a generalized version of this so that you can put items in either at the beginning or the end and remove from either the beginning or the end. So it's a universal version of this sort of abstraction of this data type. So I've read most of this book except for the last chapter, and just like in the Zell book, the last chapter is probably going to be the most interesting because it's in both books it's called Advanced Topics. So I know in the Zell book it was the most interesting, and I think it will be in this one too because they go over some really more leading-edge topics, which I'm fascinated by. And I may do book review on that when I totally finish, or not. But, time is short, but I do like it. And the other book I bought there is probably long-term even going to be more valuable to me. It's a brand-new, just published. In fact, I got it signed by the author, David Beasley, who was there, and he autographed my copy of the book, The Python Essential Reference, 3rd Edition. Now, I actually own a first edition of this, which is a very thin book, which nonetheless was very valuable. This book is 3 times as thick. You know, I skipped the second edition, I guess. This book is in a whole other league, especially for covering the Python library. There's a short chapter perhaps, but a section on every single Pythonic library that's in the standard library. And wow, boy, do I get a lot out of that. I can't say enough. I think that this book, I would almost go so far as to say that if you already know Python and you know how to program in Python, then this would be the one book you most should own, because if you already know it and you just need to look up the reference to a library or a language feature, the syntax and the usability, wow, what a great book. So, you know, maybe I should start getting commissions on these things. Just kidding, folks. But really, I do like that book. And I wanted to comment that it's been a real pleasure already 2 weeks back from the conference, just reading through that book and using it on a daily basis. Well, not a daily basis. Unfortunately, I don't get to program in Python every single day since I travel on business and I'm quite busy with a family. But great book. So, again, I wanted to share that. Okay. I did do my first ever interview on my other podcast series, the AwareTech podcast series. If you're interested, you could go over there. I interviewed a fascinating science fiction author. Well, I say science fiction simply because I don't know how to categorize his works. Brian Wallace, who wrote a first novel called Labyrinths of Chaos, which truly is hard to classify. And then his second one probably is science fiction, Mind Transmissions Incorporated. But I've been... It took me a while to get up to speed with the capability to interview over the telephone and get good sound quality. So now that I've done that, I am open-minded about interviewing Pythonic personalities. And if any of you, well, first of all, I'm still looking for guest podcasts. I think that if you're willing to record a sound, an MP3 or an OGG file or any sound file, audio file, of a Pythonic topic that you know something about and hopefully are excited about, it's a good way to promote it. There's almost 2,000 listeners to this podcast series, and it's a good way to promote either a module of your own that you've written or something you just use and enjoy and would like others to know about, or any Pythonic subject. If you would prefer to do it in an interview-type fashion over the phone, I'm now up to speed and capable of doing that, so you could tell about your module in an interview setting. And frankly, I would appreciate anyone emailing me at rdsteph, that's rdsteph, at mac.com to offer to either do a guest podcast or be interviewed for Python 411. And don't be shy. I really am looking forward to further participation. So I want to take this opportunity to once again thank Bill Scheer, who recorded the Spread Module guest podcast. And Bill did an outstanding job. And again, if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. It's the one right before this one. And even if you have listened to it, I would suggest go do some reading about it. The links are very easy to find online. And then come back and listen to the podcast again, and you'll get a lot more out of it. So I really do hope that there is an increase of usage in that Spread Module, so that there will be some value coming out of it. And thank you, Bill. Now that Bill has broken the ice come on, everybody. Let's get some volunteers out there to help the Python community. Okay, one last piece of news, actually. Gita von Rossum actually posted on his weblog at Artema a plea for more Pythonistas to get involved in marketing Python and getting the word out. Well, this is a great way, and I posted on there in response to Guido that, you know, one way you can help out is by doing guest podcasts on Python 411, because this not only gets out to the Python community, but I've had many people email me and say that they got into programming Python because of this podcast. I may not have ever mentioned it, but I started this podcast, and right before Apple introduced a new version of iTunes, which supported podcasts. And so when they did that, they tried to promote indie podcasts such as this, and they selected a few out of the thousands that are available. And so one week, for a whole week, a little bit longer, they had a section promoting technology-related podcasts, indie podcasts. And Python 411, this podcast, was, to my shock and surprise, featured as one of the five featured ones, right on the front page for a week, a little more, of the Apple iTunes website, music store. There was Python 411 promoted with a picture of the logo and a link to click on to come listen to and subscribe to Python 411. So that really helped launch this and got it out to a lot of people who otherwise might not have been listening or been reading or listening or investigating Python. So interesting the way things work. So this is a vehicle for promotion and publicity, and Guido has suggested we do it. So, hey, drop me an email, send me an MP3 file, or just plain, to make it easier on yourself, if you want, so let me do a phone interview. So I'd be glad, and I'll make it painless for you. We can do it on a weekend. It takes about a half an hour, and away we go. So on that note, I'm going to say goodbye and keep programming. And this is Python 411, computer programming for everybody.